Hi there, this is Pastor Tim. I'm the minister at Eastside Church. We are a United Methodist congregation in East Atlanta Village. We seek to be creative, historic, and inclusive. And we are thrilled that you found our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about our church community, you can visit us at www.eastsideatl.org. Well, again, friends, good morning. As it is each week, it is a privilege on this day to be with you all here in worship. And if you're a guest with us here at Eastside, it may be helpful for you to know that we've been on something of a journey through what is known as the Revised Common Lectionary. And the abbreviated way that we refer to it is just the lectionary. And it's a three-year cycle of readings through the scriptures. There are generally two Old Testament passages, two New Testament passages, and Alex read our Old Testament reading, and he read our reading from the epistle this morning. And this morning, we are going to be preaching from the gospel reading. And if you're not familiar, the word gospel means good news. And there are four accounts of the gospels, in the New Testament called gospels, which are the recounting of Jesus' life, death, resurrection of his teachings. And the lectionary has us spending a substantial amount of time in the gospel of Luke in this season of the church's life. Now, I'm not going to apologize for the text that we're about to read because I didn't write it, but it's there, and you can open your Bibles and you can read it. So I figure we could avoid it or we could push right through it and deal with it. So our reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 12, and in it, Jesus has some words to say. So I invite you now to stand for the reading of God's word, beginning in verse 49. I, Jesus is speaking here, came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress am I under until it is completed? Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two against three, they will be divided. Father against son against father, mother against daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it's going to rain, and then it does. And when you see a south wind blowing, you say there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky. Why do you not know how to interpret the present time? Friends, the word of God for us, the people of God. Let us pray. Holy One, eternal God, God who was, God who shall be, may you break into our present reality. In this time, God, I pray that you would be so fully present that we cannot miss you. We cannot miss the word that you're seeking to offer to us. God, as I preach, I pray that the words that I have prepared might be your word for your people in this time. May you speak through them, and as will be necessary, speak in spite of me. And as I preach, God, I pray that the collective meditations of our heart, the words of my mouth, that they would all be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. God, our rock, God, our redeemer, God, our savior. In Christ's name we pray. And everyone said amen. You may be seated. I told you it was an intense text. If you step foot in my backyard today, you will see a blaring problem. I think Derek has a picture of my blaring problem. I have a really nice fire pit. It's like the Cadillac of fire pits. I bought this particular kind of stone on a half-off sale over Labor Day weekend with the intention to use it for something totally different. I went to all of this trouble of placing the stone along the shrubbery in my front yard, and then my wife told me she didn't like the way that it looked. It just wasn't right. It wasn't the right look for the yard. And in fact, The process of attempting to landscape that shrubbery is what would eventually lead me to the grueling work of ripping out all of those bushes one by one in my front yard. Have any of you all ever removed bushes? In July in Atlanta, you know, it is miserable, difficult, painstaking work. But both Elizabeth and I, we despised those bushes. They were ugly. They would never stop growing. I literally had to be in my neighbor's driveway to trim them. They wouldn't stop growing. So the last 4th of July, I just had enough. I was done. And I started chopping them. And I just, that 4th of July, I chopped them all the way down to the ground. And like the guy who walked into the barber shop and just said, shave it all off, I went to town on those stupid bushes and I demolished them. And frankly, it was quite cathartic. It was maybe the most cathartic thing I had done in 2018. I stacked them on the front curb. It was a glorious 4th of July. But to be honest, the hard part wasn't the cutting them and dragging them to the curb. The hard part was then digging all the stubs out of the ground. That was grueling work, and it took me several weeks to get it all done. And there's just like this rhythm to it. You would just start rocking back and forth these stupid shrubs to try to get them to let go of the ground. And it was hard work. So I thought that I just needed to landscape these bushes with these bricks back in 2017, and come to find out I was wrong. Those bricks would wind up going to make a beautiful fire pit for me in my backyard, and they would lead me to de-shrubbing the front yard. There's a lot of division and reworking that was required to make these projects happen. There's a lot of hard work, and here's the thing. Even after the shrubs were gone, the work wasn't done. I still had to build something to put in place of them, because now the chain link fence that had been covered by the shrubs was now very, very apparent. So I had to build a picket fence. It's a lot of work to be done, and some scholars wonder if at this point in the text, Jesus' disciples weren't kind of hanging on his coattails, just making the assumption that in his kingdom, they were going to get cabinet appointments. And Jesus is essentially looking his disciples in the eyes and saying, we're not even close, y'all. We're not even close. Here's the thing about this fire pit that I reworked and created. I haven't been able to use it for months, and I won't be able to use it until October because Atlanta has been on a burn ban due to air quality control. So frustrating. Which means my fire pit is this giant stack of branches that have fallen from my trees for the last 3 months. I cannot tell you how bad I want to baptize my fire pit with fire. In our text this morning, we find ourselves in Luke chapter 12. Just halfway through Luke's rendering of Jesus' life, ministry, his teachings. And what I find fascinating, and what I kind of love about this text, the more I've sat with it this week, is that Jesus, he's kind of blown a gasket here. As you read through all of Luke 12, you can literally feel the temperature rising. Jesus just keeps ratcheting things up. He takes it to the next level and to the next level. And you think, surely he's going to take his foot off the accelerator, but he doesn't. He just keeps pushing. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress am I under until it is completed? You think I've come to bring peace to the earth? I tell you, division. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided, 3 against 2, 2 against 3, they will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Now, the last one there is pretty predictable. He's speaking to families being divided. This is heavy. He's speaking to this interrelated web of relationality that human beings experience, and he's saying that he, his presence, his ministry, his mission is going to be like a baptism of fire that's going to turn family members in on one another. He's ripping shrubs out. He is repurposing brick to make a bonfire, and he has come to set the world on fire. Those are his words, not mine. So what do you do with this not-so-peaceful Prince of Peace? What's going on here? The more I reflected on this text, the more it became evident to me that Jesus, he's not going to just leave things the way that they are. For Jesus, peace is not just the absence of conflict. Peace is this active, creative force of God in the world, and that creative force sometimes has to rip some stuff out of the ground so that something new can be made. Jesus isn't going to just leave things the way they are, because things as they are not okay. Amen? And as he does this work, he's going to tick some people off. He's going to make some people really angry. He's going to make some moms angry. He's going to make some dads angry. He's going to make some brother-in-laws really, really angry. And some people may not hear from people for a year. Jesus is grabbing people by the shoulders here, looking them in the face and saying, this is going to get a lot worse before it gets better. You can't get to peace without doing the confronting, uncomfortable, and painful work of reconciliation. With the work of justice, almost always there comes, at least for a period, a time of division. The civil rights movement wasn't just passively received peacefully. It embraced nonviolence, but that nonviolence was received with violence. It was received as war. Friends, this text this morning reminds me that if we are actually doing the work of the Christ in the world, we're going to make people angry. People are going to take us out of their phones. They're going to unfriend us on social media. They're not going to want to do anything to do with us. And for some of us, it's going to cut right into our families. I'm fully aware that when we hung our Black Lives Matter banner, there were some of you who were no longer able to bring your parents to our church. That's hard. But I don't regret hanging it. I said this back in 2016, and I'll say it in 2019. Son of a wonderful retired state police officer, Black lives still matter. Amen? Jesus seeks ultimate shalom, ultimate peace for the whole of the cosmos, for all of creation. But there are simply times that to get to that peace, we're going to have to cause some temporary division. If you're going to take a stand on something, somebody that was standing next to you is going to step away. We lost people when we hung the Black Lives Matter banner. We lost other people when we hung the rainbow banner. We lost people after the sermon I preached when our president was elected. 2016 was a year, friends. I don't even think all of us have completely recovered or fully processed 2016. It was a year of division. But necessarily so, it had to be a year of division. Because there were things that had to be said and there were stands that had to be taken. And it was uncomfortable. You see, friends, I believe that unity is absolutely a Christian virtue, and it should be a Christian value. It's in the scriptures. Jesus wants the church to be one. He said so. But he wants us to be one in the right direction. He wants us to be one headed in the right direction. And I'm sorry. I refuse to be one with those who are okay with splitting up families at the border. Splitting them up with no mechanism to put them back together. That is a problem, and I refuse to be one with that. I refuse to be one with those who believe at all costs that their gun rights are more important than the safety of my three children who are now all together under the same roof in the same school. Unity at what cost? I'm all about hunting. I've never done it, but I'm complete support of it. I'm the survivor of a deer that hit me on the interstate when I was driving 80 miles an hour. Go get all the deer. You don't need a you don't need an assault rifle to go get the deer. Why on earth are we using our human energy to defend people's perceived needs for automatic weapons? I don't get the logic. Our planet is warming, our oceans are dying, and we're fighting about assault rifles. And we, the church, capital C Church, we're arguing about who does and doesn't have the right to stand up here and get married, to commit to a lifelong partnership of fidelity and love, to devote one another's life to another human being, to mirror it, to embody the love of God in a human relationship. Baptism of fire. If you read Jesus broadly in the book of Luke, he is absolutely, ultimately all about bringing peace. He is about shalom. He is about God's good intention for our lives and for our world. He is about bringing heaven to earth. At the same time, he recognizes not everybody wants heaven to come crashing to earth. Some people really don't want equality. Some people don't want justice. Some people don't want freedom. Some people don't want reconciliation. Some people don't want everybody to have an equal voice at the table. Some people embody hate. Some don't want to say to all people everywhere that you are loved. Our text this morning recognizes that the gospel, the good news of God putting our world back together, is not just holding hands and singing kumbaya, though I love a good church camp experience, don't hear me wrong. Sometimes there's going to be more division before there's unity. Sometimes there's going to be a lot more pain before there is healing. Jesus, he uses the metaphor of a baptism of fire, a baptism that he says must happen, and he's speaking more specifically to his own future on a cross. Jesus is literally going to have to die to put this world back together. And there's not an easy, comfortable way for any of this to get fixed. There's no shortcut. There's no workaround. Friends, there's just times that if we do the right thing, we're going to make people angry and they're not going to like us. We're going to speak the truth as we believe to have received it, and there are family members who may not talk to you for a year. And that's hard. And I get it. But if we don't speak what we know we are called to speak, then we're culpable. If we don't act in the way that we know God is calling us to act, then we are. If we don't do what we're called to do, if we just passively allow injustice to rule the day, then we're culpable. I'm always curious, what was Jesus on the Enneagram? Maybe he was an 8. He most certainly was not a 9, though that is often what many of us want and believe him to be. We have absolutely no evidence that Jesus ever even touched a sword. But he didn't need to, right? His words cut right through people. He wasn't afraid of dividing. Essentially, he said, get on board, follow, become a disciple, or don't. That's fine. But the Christ just kept walking. He kept doing. He has a baptism. He has a mission. And friends, 2,000 years later, we are still invited to be a part of it. But his point is clear. Following is going to be painful, it's going to hurt, and there's going to be fire, there's going to be division. I love the word inclusive, and I love that we are striving to be an inclusive church. But here's the thing. The word inclusive from time to time can actually be divisive. To say that all are welcome can be a dangerous statement. Are white supremacists welcome at Eastside? My answer would be, only if entering those doors, they are entering with a desire to divide that part of their life and to leave it behind and to be baptized with fire to become new creations. All are welcome. But coming into this space, hatred in whatever form it might come in, you leave that out on the front steps. You come in here to be reborn, to be baptized, to be made new. We will not embrace any form of hate in this space. We will protect one another at all cost. We are family. And our biological families may be divided, but this spiritual family, I pray, can be united. Y'all with me? Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for this place, for this space, for these people. And God, we don't pray for a safe space. We pray for brave space, where we are willing to come together and do the work that we need to do to be the people that you are calling us to be, so that we can actually be the active force in the world to make this planet be the kingdom of God. Use us, God. Reveal in us anything, God, that we need to have baptized with fire, to have consumed, so that we might become new creatures, so that we might follow you better with our whole being. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, we hope that you've enjoyed this week's message, and we look forward to seeing you soon. If you listen from afar and you would like to support the work that we are doing in East Atlanta and on Atlanta's East Side, you can visit our website, www.eastsideatl.org, and find our giving portal there.